My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The aim of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. The date today is the 28th of July 2009 and the time is 8:21 p.m. Can you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Yeah, my name is Richard Chapman. I'm 34 years old and I live in Selsdon in South London, South Croydon.
How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Feeling rather calm.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
I think I read about it in the newspaper, in one of the free newspapers. And I remember thinking at the time, that's quite intriguing. And I kept an eye on it through the internet, and when I saw that the applications were, when it was open for applications, I thought, all right, I'll put in my name, and not expecting to get picked. And here I am.
How did you feel when you did get picked?
Like I'd won something. Pleased. But a bit surprised, actually. Because I don't normally get picked to do things like this. Or not that I put in to do a lot of things like this, but I don't normally get, you know, picked out of raffles or, you know, I don't win things. So to be selected out of a lot of people to do something was quite a surprise.
Does it feel like a raffle?
It does in a way, because there was a random element to the choosing, but and in that it does feel like a bit of a prize too. Yeah, absolutely, it is a bit like a raffle. Yeah.
What are you going to do with your hour on the clinic?
I am going to raise awareness of diabetes, which is something I have. And I've had for 20 years, and I'm going to use it also to raise awareness of the work of Diabetes UK, who are celebrating their 75th anniversary this year, and who added on behalf of people like me who have diabetes. And I'm going to do that in a number of ways, one of which is to point out the fact that every 3 minutes someone in the UK is diagnosed with diabetes. So every 3 minutes while I'm on the plinth, I'll be making a mark on the board that I'm taking up with me. And I'll also be flinging a little frisbee type thing into the crowd, which is the Diabetes UK promotional flinger, I think it's called. I'll also, as a diabetic myself, be there as a sort of, I suppose, representation of a person with diabetes.
You mentioned that you'd been diagnosed 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What impact did it have on you as a child at the time?
It had, I mean, immediately, it didn't have a great deal of impact. I was able to, I was always kind of fairly relaxed as a child anyway, and I was able to take it in my stride. It was just one of those things that you deal with, and you get on with your life and you get over it. It was in December that I got it, and it was only later on, a few months later, that I actually started to it kind of being a typical teenager, because I was 14 at the time. I then started to think, woe is me, and, you know, life is going to be awful and all the rest of it. And I never thought, actually, I'd make it to 20 years later and still be, touch wood, pretty fine with no complications or anything. And it's just really a part of my life now. It's part of who I am. And I live with it on a daily basis, and most of the time it doesn't get in my way.
How did you come across Diabetes UK?
Pretty much from the beginning when I was diagnosed. There, the hospital where I was diagnosed and treated to start off with made me aware of the fact that this organisation was there and existed for people who got diabetes. And I signed up, I think my mum actually signed me up as a member, so I was able to get information from them, a magazine, you know, about all anything diabetic. Over the 20 years, they've obviously set up a website, and that's actually really helpful. It's something that I'm able to refer to whenever I need to. If, for instance, this whole business about swine flu, the first place I looked when I was worried about that was the Diabetes UK website, and it had information on there about, you know, if you're diabetic, you're worried about swine flu, what should you do? Which is great. I mean, they're in the lead all the time on dealing with the the sorts of worries and health issues that that people might, like me, might have, and in, you know, public advocacy, lobbying government, producing reports to ensure that the needs of diabetics are met by policymakers. It's a really valuable organisation.
Just picking up there on what you said about swine flu, can you tell me a little bit more about how that might affect a diabetic person?
Good question. Whenever you hear on the news about people who've who've died or who are suffering severely because of something like swine flu, and they say this person had underlying health problems, then usually that's shorthand for saying that they either got respiratory illness or a weak heart, or that they have diabetes. It's one of those illnesses that makes you more susceptible to other illnesses. It affects your immune system. I mean, as well as affecting your circulation, it also affects your immune system, and means that, you know, in my own experience, I get, if there's a cold going around, I'm guaranteed to get it, you know. But diabetics are one of the priority groups that gets flu vaccinations every winter. So, you know, we're just generally there on the front line of getting illnesses, basically.
Just moving away from the diabetes for a moment, how would you describe yourself as a person?
How would I describe myself as a person? That was one of the hardest things, actually, about the application process. I didn't really know what to put on that, especially where it said, describe yourself in 3 words. And I think I probably went, logged on and changed what I'd gone there about 18 times. How do I describe myself as a person? Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son and a brother, I'm a religious person, I'm a diabetic, as you know. I'm quite tall. I don't enjoy a lot of sports. What do? I wear glasses.
What do you do for a living?
I work for the Church of England. I'm their parliamentary advisor.
Could you tell me a bit more about that role? What does that involve?
Well, it's basically, there are 26 bishops of the Church of England who sit in the House of Lords. And part of my job is to coordinate their work and support them and act as a resource for them. And I'm also heading up an office for the church, which is geared towards briefing members of parliament about what the church thinks on topical legislative issues, policy issues, as well as being a resource for parliamentarians who want to know anything about the church. So, you know, being that point of contact both ways, for my colleagues in the church and for the bishops with Parliament, and for Parliament if they want to connect with the church.
Has church always been a big part of your life?
No, it wasn't, actually, and it was only since I got married that I actually started going back to church. I was originally brought up in the church, in the Methodist church. I left it, as a lot of people do when they reach their teenage years and think that they know everything, and then spent the next, whatever it was, 15 years of my life wandering around thinking I knew everything, or I needed to find out everything, but the church wasn't the answer to it, and then went back to it because it's strange. I kind of got led back into it in a large part through the work that I did. I worked for an MP who was a religious man, and then I worked for the Archbishop of Canterbury following on from that. And also through my wife Ruth, who's an Anglican and a churchgoer, and her family. And it just feels, it's very difficult to define, but it feels right, it feels comfortable. And when I'm there, I feel at home. Yeah.
What kind of impact do you think being on the plinth will have?
For me? One thing it'll do, looking at it purely for me, is that it'll help me publicly acknowledge my diabetes, which for a large part of the 20 years I've had it, I as I said before, you know, I didn't want it to get in my way, but I deliberately put it to the back, and I didn't let it really be a part of who I was. It was an irritation, you know. But I've now, more recently, started to reconcile myself to the fact that I have it and feel comfortable with it. And part of doing what I'm doing today is to say, here I am, I've got diabetes and I've had it for 20 years and look at me, it's great, I can stand on the plinth and, you know, I'm fine. What I'm also hoping to do is to, as I say, raise a bit of awareness for Diabetes UK and to raise some money for them. I've been sponsored by friends and colleagues to do what I'm doing, and so that'll all go to a good cause. And I hope to spread a little bit of happiness amongst people who know me, who think that I'm completely insane for doing this.
Why do you think that?
Because it's... because they tend not to... I'm not really a natural extrovert, I think, and they wouldn't think that it's the sort of thing I would normally do. And most of them wouldn't do it either. So, I mean, they would admire it and look at it and go, yeah, that's good fun, and if only I had the, you know, cojones to go and do it myself. But none of them would actually put themselves out there. So I think, you know, probably think I'm slightly bonkers for doing it, but also jealous at the same time.
Do you have any reservations about doing it?
Only in that I think I brought too much stuff. But provided the wind doesn't pick up and everything blows off into the net, no, not really. No, not at all.
How's your wife reacted to your taking part?
She's been really supportive. She's been great. I mean, she did some fundraising for Diabetes UK about 2 years ago. She ran a 10K, and I thought that she was, you know, mad at the time to do that, because the thought of running 10 kilometres to me, you know, just, I wouldn't make it, you know, have trouble with 10 metres. But, so, you know, I supported her with that. She supported me with this. She thinks it's great. I mean, she says she could never do it. She didn't like the idea of all those people looking at her and, you know, on the web and everything. But I don't really worry about that.
Do you think that's in part because of your role, because your profile, if you like, at work?
Possibly. Yeah, maybe. I suppose it... yeah, I mean, I have a bit of... I've got a fair reserve of self-confidence as a result of the work that I do, but I think it's also as well that I'm doing it for a cause. I think if I was sitting up there on my own, I'd feel a lot more nervous and self-conscious, because, you know, I would be putting myself there to be judged, it would feel like, you know, like, what's the point in you, just you? But given that I'm actually there highlighting something else as well as me, it gives me a stronger feeling of confidence in what I'm doing.
Did your colleagues know that you had diabetes?
Yeah. I had to tell them. Well, I mean, you know, health and safety and all the rest of it. It's helpful if colleagues actually know that you've got something like that, and you have to tell them that if I get ill for whatever reason, then it's advisable to force feed me sugar, or you know, look in my wallet for my I have diabetes card. So yeah, they know about it.
Did the fact that Anthony Gormley is interested in the democratisation of art, being art for the people, for that, did that have any bearing on your decision to take part?
Yeah, actually, it probably did. I mean, I know, I'm not a great art follower, but I know his work and I admire it. And I loved it when he had the figures around the South Bank of London on, you know, rooftops and ledges. It was wonderfully eerie, but fascinating at the same time. And I never quite knew where I was going to see one next. And you'd catch a glimpse at the corner of your eye of one standing like at the top of the Hayward Gallery or whatever it was, and do a double take. So that. I've admired him for doing things which have been slightly unsettling, yet at the same time compelling. And of course, you know, love Angel of the North. and I'm trying to remember the name of the beach now that the figures are on, but the one there, the one with the beach. Love that one. So this feels good. I mean, this feels like almost a reverse of what he's doing there. And you know, the figures are the humans. They're actually, you know, they're actually people. They're not the casts. It's wonderful.
What would you say is the most satisfying part of your job?
Of my job. Where I'm able to bring about change legislatively. The bishops don't wield a lot of power in the House of Lords. They're a small number compared to the rest of them, 26 out of 700 and however many it is, 40 or something. But on those odd occasions where they can, where I can help them to make an effective contribution, or, you know, where they can go into the lobby and vote for something that is right and good, then that's probably the most satisfying part of it, I should think.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just thank you very much.
Thank you very much.